Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel and chapter number 1.
Our pastor asked us to sing this morning, but I got some good singers. But I wanted to read a little something to you about moms. And, you know, we talk about moms on Mother's Day a lot, as we should. But I just want to say thank you to all you really mean moms out there. While other kids ate candy for breakfast, we had to have cereal, eggs, and toast. When others had a Pepsi and a Twinkie for lunch, we had to eat sandwiches. And you can guess our mother fixed us a dinner that was different from what the other kids had, too. Mother insisted on knowing where we were at all times. You'd think we were convicts in a prison. She had to know where our friends, who our friends were and what we were doing with them. She insisted that if we said we would be gone for an hour, we would be gone for an hour or less. We were ashamed to admit, but she had the nerve to break the child labor laws by making us work. We had to wash the dishes, make the beds, learn to cook, vacuum the floor, do laundry, and all sorts of cruel jobs. I think she would lie awake at night and think of more things for us to do. She always insisted on telling us the truth, the whole truth, on us telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And by the time we were teenagers, she could read our minds. Then life got really tough. Mother wouldn't let our friends just honk the horn when they drove up. They had to come up to the door so she could meet them. While everyone else could date when they were 12 or 13, we had to wait until we were 16. Because of our mother, we missed out on lots of things other kids experienced. None of us ever been caught shoplifting, vandalizing other people's property, or even arrested for a crime. It was all her fault. Now that we've left home, we are God-fearing, educated, honest adults, and we're doing our best to be mean parents just like Mom was. I think that's what the world, what's wrong with the world today. It just doesn't have enough mean moms anymore. That was written by Mike Doyle. Thank you, mean mamas.
It's already gone. nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's under the blood. Oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding Him it's under the blood.
I'm happy reminding Him
it's under the blood.
Praise the Lord that I'm saved. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. If you've already found your place, would you let it known by saying amen?
Amen.
And please stand with me. We'll honor God's word by reading. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I would say that this scripture is being read in church houses all across the land today. 1 Samuel, we'll begin in verse number 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Amim Zephim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I want to preach this morning on the thought of the crucial role of motherhood. The crucial role of motherhood. It's more crucial than you and I think it to be. Definitely more crucial than our society thinks it to be. You can be seated. Pray with me. Father, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, bless us. We're here at the hour of preaching. Lord, it's a special day where we recognize the mothers in our life. And Lord, I do not want to waste this opportunity to remind everybody of how crucial mothers are as instituted in God's word. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage the mothers that are ministering on your behalf. And Lord, maybe if there's a mother here today that loves their kids, no doubt, but they don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would show them your care for them and their need for you as a sinner and as a mother. And Lord, may you apply this message to every heart, mother or not, whether it be a father, a man, a woman. Lord, your word, let it speak to us. And Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. I always feel very inadequate to preach upon a subject like this for obvious reasons. I'm obviously not a parent, neither is Madison yet, and so I do feel inadequate, but I believe that a subject like this needs to be preached on. I believe that there's not enough Bible teaching and Bible preaching on the subject of motherhood, fatherhood, and the family as instituted in God's Word. And I'll have you know that these things were made by God, designed by God, instituted by God, and God's the only one that can tell us how we're supposed to do them and how crucial they are. And so I want to give you some thoughts from God's Word that I pray would remind us of just how essential, just how vital, just how crucial the role of motherhood plays in our society. And I promise you, if you're not a mother, you will still have an application in this message. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 5, Isaiah chapter 5, there in verse number 20, in that chapter, Isaiah is pronouncing judgment upon the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 5, he pronounces 6 woes against the nation of Israel. That is, a woe is a warning, great warning unto you. You are in serious trouble. And one of those woes is Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You say, what does this have to do with mothers? I believe that our nation is living just like the nation of Judah was living back then. I believe that we are living in a nation that has turned itself upside down spiritually. We're living exactly opposite of how God has commanded us to live. Those things that are good, we have pronounced them evil. Those things that are evil, we pronounce them good. Those things that are darkness, we treat them as if they were light. Those things that were light, we treat them as if they were darkness. Those things that God meant to be sweet in our lives, we have called them bitter. And those things that God calls bitter, we have called them sweet. We have completely flip-flopped our morality because we have strayed from God. We celebrate sin and sinful living, and we reward it as if it were good and honorable. That's calling good evil. That's calling darkness light. That's calling bitter things sweet. And we shame righteous living in our society. We shame those that would do good and love justice because they are judgmental and discriminatory by their lives. That's what our society preaches, is it not? Our society preaches that there is no such thing as sin. The only sin in our society is the sin of calling sin, sin. We are a society of tolerance. We believe we should tolerate everything except for intolerance, and that we will not tolerate. We've called good things evil and evil things good, and we've called bitter things sweet and sweet things bitter. You say, what does it have to do with mothers? I believe that one of the sweet things that God has given us, one of the sweet things that is necessary for a godly nation and a strong nation, even for a godly church and a strong church, is motherhood. And we have, as a nation, pronounced motherhood as bitter when we should call it sweet. And fatherhood, for that matter. And the family unit, for that matter. Those things that God has intended to be sweet, we have pronounced as bitter. Motherhood, fatherhood, the family, as instituted and prescribed by God in His Word, has been written off by our culture as archaic, sexist, and male chauvinistic. That's what our culture thinks of these biblical ideas and concepts. Our society believes that there are now better ways to raise the next generation, and the biblical pattern is not only obsolete, but contemptible and closed-minded in our society. Is that not what we believe? We have leaders in our nation that if they had their way, babies would be separated from their mothers at birth and would be raised in government centers and would have no concept of a family or a mother or a father. But I want to tell you that that is simply not so. I want to tell you that the role in the ministry of motherhood is still just as vital, just as essential, just as imperative today as it ever has been. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. I believe there is a famine in our land for some good, godly mothers and fathers and families today. We need some godly moms, some godly dads that will raise godly children in a godly home that will be godly and honor God, fear God, and love God with their lives. And I believe our nation's falling apart at the seams because there's absent fathers and absent mothers. So I want to remind everyone why. Why the biblical role of motherhood especially is crucial in our society. We'll pick on the fathers on Father's Day. But for the mothers, I want to encourage every mother here who is ministering on behalf of God to your children. I want to encourage you to keep going. And maybe if there's a mother here that you no doubt love your kids, you no doubt love your family, but maybe you don't know God. I want to try and convince you today of God's great care and love and concern for you. And I want you to see your great need of Him, not only because you're a sinner in need of a Savior, but because you're a mother who has children that God has entrusted to you. And so that's my purpose. I want us to look into God's Word and examine the life of Miss Hannah. What a mom she was. I want to point out to you three main reasons why the role of motherhood is crucial and vital in our society. And not only why motherhood is crucial, but why it is crucial that mothers love God. Number one, these are simple things, nothing shocking. Number one, motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. Motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. And you mothers, I believe, can all agree and say a hearty amen to that. It's certainly not easy. It's certainly not all enjoyable. It's certainly not all pleasurable. But I believe every mother here would agree that motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. It's a gift from God. We have children because God gives us children. We have children because God gives life, and every good thing cometh from above, from the Father of lights. You say, that's simple. Did you know our culture today will not tell you this? Our culture today will not tell you that children are a gift from God, a blessing, and that fatherhood and motherhood especially is a blessing from God. Our culture today will tell you that motherhood, fatherhood is to be ignored and to be avoided. We have taken these roles for granted. And we have taken God for granted because they're given to us by God. If Hannah were here today, she would tell us exactly this. Hannah was a barren woman. She was infertile. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, it tells us that Hannah had no children. In chapter 1, verse number 5, it says the Lord had shut up her womb. Chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says that the Lord had shut up her womb. Some of you can relate to the pain of that just in those words. Hannah's husband had another wife beside her whose name was Peninnah. And by the way, God has never condoned polygamy. God has always ordained marriage to be between one man and one woman for one lifetime till death do us part. But man in those days sinned prevalently in that area as we sin prevalently in other areas. And by the way, it's concerning to me the rise of polygamy in our day again. That's becoming more and more popular. God's never condoned that, but this man had another wife. Her name was Peninnah, and she had children. Peninnah took great pains to remind barren Hannah of this fact every chance that she had. She provoked Hannah so much that the Spirit of God writing this Bible calls Peninnah Hannah's adversary. That's how terrible she was about this. She provoked Hannah sore. Or in other words, she provoked her severely. It says that she made Hannah to fret. That means she literally made Hannah miserable. It says in verse 7 that she provoked Hannah to the point that Hannah wept uncontrollably and she refused to eat. In verse 10, she provoked Hannah to the point that Hannah finally went to the temple and she prayed and she wept to God severely and with bitterness of soul. And if any of you women have ever experienced infertility or barrenness, then you can relate to her feelings, and you would probably agree that this is the worst feeling or one of the worst trials in life. And I could say my heart does go out to each of you. But in verse number 11, she took her pain and desire to God. She vowed a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, O God, if you'll remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She was praying in such turmoil, the man sitting there thought she was drunk. And she said, my Lord, I'm not drunk, but I have wept bitterly before God. And Eli the priest said that God grant thee your prayer. And then in verse number 19, it says, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Hannah, if she were here today, would remind us that motherhood is in fact a blessing and a gift from God and God alone. Man cannot give children, and doctors cannot give children, but God gives children. She named her son Samuel, which literally meant asked of the Lord, prayed for. I do not believe that there has ever been a time in history when a society has placed so little value upon the blessing and importance of children. Never before have I believe we've seen this. We have never before had such a low view of kids. And some of you mothers, you know what I'm talking about, and you fathers. Modern feminism has told women that being a mother is a drudgery, a downgrade, and a disgrace in the life of a woman. That's the lie we've been fed. Women have been fed the lie that motherhood straps you down, keeps you from a successful life, and brings you under the bondage and inferiority to men and children. That's the lie that our culture has fed us now. Motherhood, we're taught, is to be avoided, not embraced. Prayed against, not prayed for. Our feministic culture tells us that even if you were crazy enough to actually want children, you should at least live your life first to the fullest and check off your bucket list, and then when you've done, you're done and you're all wore out, then you can break down and have kids when you're ready to die. By the way, that's how we teach our kids concerning marriage. Live your life and sow your seeds and check your bucket list. And then when you're ready to give up, then get married. Boy, that really tells your wife I love you. I finally gave up and got married. Listen, the things that we're avoiding, we ought to be seeking after. We ought to be praying for. We ought to be preparing for. Children are not a waste. A young married couple with children in our society is viewed as a wasted life and a wasted youth. It is no such thing. We have been groomed to view children and family, motherhood and fatherhood as a hindrance instead of a blessing. Raising up children should be something we pray for, desire, prepare for, and not despise but delight in. It amazes me so many that would love to have children, and we've got so many that have children that they hate. Motherhood's a blessing. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And I know some of you have got kids in a phase right now where you say, I don't know what you're talking about. But you know in your heart, it is a blessing. Number two, motherhood's a responsibility to God. Motherhood's not only a blessing from God, children are from God. Motherhood is a responsibility to God. 1 Samuel 1:11, when she prayed for a son, Hannah said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. In verse 22, whenever she had her son, she said, I will bring him to the temple, that is, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. In verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. Hannah, if she was here today, would have told us, number one, that children are a blessing from God, and number two, motherhood is a responsibility to Hannah understood that if she had a child, it would only be because God gave her that child. And if God gave her that child, she was to give that child back to the Lord. She was entrusted with a child from God. Children are given to us by God. This has great implications. If God has entrusted us with children, then we are answerable to God to raise them. We're accountable and responsible. This changes everything about motherhood and fatherhood. Kids aren't necessarily given to you so that you can enjoy them and they will please you. Kids are given to you so that God may be pleased by them and your raising of them. And how many of you parents know if you had kids because you wanted them to bring you joy, hey, when they get to be a teenager or a middle, and hey, it's not bringing you that joy and satisfaction. And you know what I'm talking about. And I pray that every parent would get through that just as my parents did with me. But you don't raise a kid. I know so much so from the Bible. We don't raise children for ourselves or for our enjoyment. But this is a ministry God's given. It is a responsibility. Our children are entrusted to us by God and will answer for how we raise them. They are to be raised to know the truth of God's word. And they should be raised with parents that live a God-honoring life in front of them. Some of you have cast stumbling blocks before your children. And unless you repent, you'll answer to God for that. We need children that will be dedicated to God. Have you repented of your sin and cast your faith on Christ to save you as a father or mother? If you have not given yourself to God, you are not only going to give account of yourself before God one day, but as a mother or a father, you will give account of yourself for your children. Because you willingly chose to reject Christ, and therefore you willingly chose to reject teaching Christ to your kids. You not only are sending yourself to hell, but your very children. You tie them to you and take them with you. And it's only God's mercy that some of you have been saved out of households where there was no God to teach. Children are given to us by God, entrusted to us, and we are to give ourselves to raising them for the Lord. We have baby dedications, and some of you have dedicated your babies to the Lord when they were young. Where is your dedication to God now? We're living in a nation of absentee fathers and absentee mothers, halfway dads and halfway moms, but we're accountable. Turn to Psalm 127 and verse number 3. Psalm 127 and verse number 3. Many of you are familiar with these verses. Wonderful verses. But I've misread them for a long time. He said in verse 3 of Psalm 127, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I've always read that wrong. I always say that the children are an heritage from the Lord, but they're not. It says they're a heritage, what? Of the Lord. You know what that means? God gives us children, not that they'll be your heritage, not that they'll be your legacy, but that they might be God's heritage and God's legacy. Look at the last part of the verse. The fruit of the womb is what? His reward. Not yours, not mine, but his. Children are God's heritage and God's reward. Are we living in motherhood and fatherhood as if this is true? Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, the book of Isaiah, then Jeremiah, then Ezekiel. Isaiah 16 and verse number 20. Here, Ezekiel is preaching against the many sins of Israel at the time. And one of their sins was the great neglect of their children. He said in verse number 20 of Ezekiel 16, he said, "Moreover, thou, Israel, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me." Everybody see that? You've taken your sons and your daughters, but in reality, they're my sons and they're my daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? Jesus loves the little children, and he takes them very seriously. He said, verse 21, that thou hast slain my children. You've slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God. Our sins are just as bad today. I'm praying that the ruling of our federal government of Roe versus Wade would be overturned. I pray that it's in the process right now of being overturned. And if it does be overturned, I pray that the states would stand up and illegalize the murder of unborn babies. Because we're killing God's children. God's children. I know some of you may have been raised to think otherwise, but examine the truth and look into God's word and realize that God knits a baby together in the womb, and it is God's child that we're killing and we're celebrating. It's a responsibility that we're going to have to give account for as a nation. Then lastly, motherhood is a blessing from God. Motherhood is a responsibility to God. But lastly, motherhood is a ministry for God. There's a wonderful outlook you can have, you mothers, on what you're doing, and you fathers. This reason, I believe, is really why that the devil is trying to abolish godly motherhood. Because the devil knows that godly mothers are the greatest weapon inside the church against the devil and his lies. As Brother David said, mean mamas. Godly moms and godly dads are some of God's greatest weapons in his church to prevail against the gates of hell. The devil can have the presidency, he can have the Congress, he can have legislation, but if God has the fathers and mothers in a nation, then no weapon formed against the church will prosper because of godly moms and godly dads. Mothers, you are the very heart of your home. The father, according to the Bible, is the head of the home, but you are the heart of the home. You are the love of the home, the heartbeat of the home. You have an impact upon the minds and hearts of your kids that no one else has. The role of motherhood is a higher role than the presidency of the United States of America. Do not let any feminist tell you that you're any less of a woman because you're a mother that devotes yourself to your kids and your family. That is the greatest thing for our country. Samuel was God's answer to Hannah's prayer, and he was one of the greatest men of God to ever live. He was one of the greatest men of God to ever live. He held the office of prophet, priest, and judge at the same time. No other man did that. He started schools for the prophets in a day and age when every man was doing right in his own eyes and living in sin. In the day in which the priesthood was corrupted, there were some young men, Hophni and Phinehas, that were living abhorrently before God. And all the while, Hannah was pouring into her son, and God was raising up a single man that would shake the history of Israel forever. and would ordain Saul, and then later he would kick Saul out and ordain David. That was Samuel. You may never know what your children may grow up to do for the Lord. I don't consider myself to be anything, but I can thank God that I had a godly mother and a godly father that loved me and taught me the Word of God and understood that their role was crucial. You say, I don't know what to do. Teach your children about the Lord. Give yourself to Him. And then give them to Him in prayer. And then give them the Word of God. I had a mom who was not perfect, but my mom, many times my dad would be gone for work before we were up. He would be back from work by the time we were in bed. And it was my mom that took up the role of mothering us and getting us to God's Word. We spent many mornings surrounding the couch, down on our knees praying and reading through the Proverbs and many other books. She read us that verse in Proverbs about laziness. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. She wrote it read it to us so many times I could have died before I heard it again. But we got the point. Don't be lazy, because God's Word says so. We need some mothers that will realize the earth-shaking, history-changing power that has been given them in their role. And if only you will give yourself to God and then dedicate your children to Him. In Psalm 127, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build a family, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Unless the Lord keeps your house, you as a mother or a father, you'll wake up and watch yet in vain. God must have His way in your home and in your heart. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies at the gate. Your children will speak with the enemies at the gate. I know it's a terrible time in which we live. And some of you may even be afraid to, and I've heard many that have talked to me and said, I don't know that I want to have a child in this day and age. This is not the worst day and age to have a child. It's the best day and age to have a child. We've never stood in more need of children that would be given to God by their parents. And it is those children who will go out and speak with the enemy at the gate and crash through the gates of hell with the gospel of Christ. That's what we need. And it starts with our mothers and fathers. You say, Revis, I'm not a mother, nor am I a father. I'm not even married. What makes you think you'll be a better husband or a better father if you're not a better man right now? What makes you think you'll be a better wife or a better mother if you're not a better woman right now? I think there's enough to drive us all to our knees here, including myself. But I want to say thank you to you mothers who have kept your children in church and raise them to love God. You may not be perfect, but God knows what you've done to minister for Him. And may God richly bless every mother here. I really do mean that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Musicians are coming. Brother David, come to sing us a hymn, a song of invitation. Father, I pray that You'd touch us now. Lord, thank You for this service, for all those families that are represented here in our church family. Lord, I pray for a blessing upon our mothers, a spiritual blessing. Lord, that You would grow them in grace and knowledge. Lord, they will have more impact on their children than I ever can from this pulpit. And Lord, we need some godly families, and we've got some here, and I thank You. But Lord, let us grow and grow. And let us do valiantly for the Lord. If there's somebody here not saved and they realize they don't know You, Lord, I pray that You'd extend Your grace to them. Convict them of their sin. Draw them to Yourself, that they would come humbly and repent and believe on You. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you keep your heads bound for just a moment? Is there anybody here you say, Revis, I need prayer? I don't even ask for the need, I just need prayer. You'd like to raise up your hand? I see that hand. I see several hands. Anybody else? I see this hand. I see these hands. We will pray for you. These altars are open this morning. If you'd like to come and pray for yourself or for your family, thank God for some things, or ask Him to help